Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y, Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, hyphen Padilla, P-A-D-I-L-L-A. Wendy Willis Padilla is a 48-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work on 6-12-08. Apparently she was pulling boxes from a truck. Period. Two wire shelves fell on her left trapezius area as this occurred. Apparently she was seen at an emergency room whose name she does not recall. Period. As a result of this incident, she believes she injured her left shoulder and neck and underwent surgery on the neck in October 2013. Apparently she did not undergo any surgery on the shoulder and is no longer receiving any active care. Period. New paragraph. And as my understanding, she received an order approving settlement on 3/30/16, as noted on your cover letter. She has since reopened her case. Period, new paragraph. I am not in receipt of the early contemporaneous treatment records relative to the event of 6/12/08. Period, the medical records provided begin with a cervical spine MRI on 12/9/14, given a history of neck pain with recent work-related injury. Period. There was diffuse annular disc bulge at C3-4, accompanied by spondylosis and right greater than left uncinate arthropathy, semicolon, intact uncomplicated ACDF, C4-C7, semicolon, localized right paramidline HNP at C5-10-1, below T1 below the fusion. Period. She also had CAT scan of the cervical spine the same day that was read as unremarkable. Period, it did identify fusion from C4 through C7 with anterior plate and screws. Period, there was pseudoarthrosis at C6-7. Period, fusion spacers were also present. Period, new paragraph on 10/11/19, she had an independent medical exam by Dr. Lee, L.E., in Texas, period. He referenced extensive medical documentation and permanency evaluations over the years, period, with respect to the subject incident. He learned she had participated in physical therapy for 2 to 3 months. She was also seen by Dr. Zook, who gave her a steroid injection to the shoulder that didn't help. She then went to see Dr. Tobias on 4/2/09 and settled her case in 2010. She reopened her case due to persistent pain in the same areas that were injured. She then saw Dr. Rosen on 6/26/12, who ordered a cervical spine MRI. Period to follow up on 8/21/12. He told her she had a herniated disc in her neck, as well as AC shoulder joint problem, along with tendonitis in the rotator cuff. Period, he suggested injections to the neck and shoulder. Period, she was then seen by neurosurgeon Dr. Glass, who attributed her neck pain to a herniated disc. Period, she had neck surgery on 10/21/13 and physical therapy for 3 months afterwards. That was not helpful. Period, she was released from Dr. Glass's care on 5/23/14. Period. New paragraph. Overall, Dr. Lee rendered diagnoses of post-laminectomy syndrome, chronic pain syndrome, chronic pain due to trauma, cervical radiculopathy, cervical spondylosis with radiculopathy, cervicalgia, left shoulder pain, thoracic spine pain, and myalgia. Period, he discussed various treatment options, the last line of medications of which would be opioids. Period. He thought medical marijuana may be of benefit since it is shown to be beneficial for chronic nerve pain as well as associated muscle pain. Period, however, the state of Texas currently had no programs that would allow her to participate in she could participate in. Period, if she relocated back to New Jersey, she states they have a program for medical marijuana. Period. He also discussed possible spinal interventions, having never had cervical epidural injections. Perhaps you could also get psychologic treatment such as cognitive behavioral therapy. In addition to having a board-certified psychiatrist, evaluate her for depression and anxiety that have developed from the chronic pain she suffers. Paired new paragraph on 10-16-18, she was seen by Dr. DeYoung, D-E, capital Y-O-U-N-G. Paired, he also noted her course of treatment to date and various permanency evaluations. Period. Interestingly, she related not seeing any physicians in Texas since moving from New Jersey to Texas several years ago. Percy also claimed she had not seen a pain management specialist for evaluation or treatment. Period. She had undergone surgery by Dr. Glass involving multi-level anterior cervical discectomy infusion with instrumentation from C4 through C7 for disc herniation and spondylosis on 10-21-13. Period. She had improvement in the numbness, tingling, and weakness for about 2 years afterwards, but then they returned. Period. After Dr. DeYoung's evaluation, he cited cervical spine x-rays done in the office that revealed degenerative and post-surgical changes. There was narrowing of C3-4 disc space and slight sparring involving the vertebral bodies. Paired alignment is normal except for a minimal spondylolisthesis at the C2-3 and C7-T1 disc levels. There's anterior instrumentation and fusion extending from C4 through C7 with the hardware intact. The fusion appears solid except for radiolucency at the C6-7 disc level. Soft tissue shadow is normal. There was no acute abnormality identified on the x-rays. Period. Dr. DeYoung concluded her ongoing symptoms are multifactorial in origin and secondary to cervical disc degeneration and spondylosis above and below the fusion, as well as altered cervical biomechanics secondary to the fusion, which shifts stress above and below the fusion. Perchi has reported pseudoarthrosis at C6-7, which may be contributing to her symptoms, although the hardware is intact and there was no evidence of loosening or movement at that level. Period. He was concerned about possible peripheral nerve compression, especially carpal tunnel syndrome, which is not evident clinically and not work-related. There was no evidence of radiculopathy or neurologic deficits secondary to her work-related injury. She was not experiencing lower back pain, and her lower back was not work-related. She had numerous other symptoms, which are not work-related, secondary to diseases of life. Perchia's status post multiple surgical procedures, including the neck surgery. Period. He discussed various treatment options and opined there was no indication for surgical treatment, except possibly for the reported pseudoarthrosis at C6-7, although there was no guarantee that she will experience any pain improvement even with the solid fusion at that level. Pretty recommended referral to a neurosurgeon or orthopedic spine specialist, as well as her primary care physician for possible peripheral nerve compression assessment. Period. He also completed an estimated physical capacities form. Period. In paragraph on 6-17-20, she had an MRI of the cervical spine at the referral of Dr. Lee to be inserted. Period. This was not compared to any distinct prior studies. Period in the paragraph. On 6/23/20, she was seen again by Dr. Lee. Noting no difference with the Cymbalta, period her pain continues unchanged, and she is still in the process of getting her GI motility issues worked up. Period. He discussed multimodal pain management. Period. He started her on Lyrica and recommended her home therapy program. Period. She continued to see Dr. Lee over the ensuing months, running through 9/1/22. Period. On that occasion, he discussed spinal cord stimulation as a treatment modality. Period. New paragraph on 1/18/21. Dr. Hanks, H-A-N-K-S, performed a psychology evaluation. Period. He rendered diagnoses of mild dysthymia, post-cervical laminectomy syndrome, cervical radiculopathy, and chronic pain syndrome. Period. He opined she was a good psychological candidate for a spinal cord stimulator. Period. Her painful areas normally respond well to this technology. Period. She did have initial benefit from her surgery, but then her pain returned and worsened. Period. She was not a candidate for additional surgery at that time. Period. She was continuing to work full-time for her husband, who owns a lawn and landscaping company. Period. She demonstrated evidence of mild reactive depression associated with her chronic pain and limitations. Period. She appeared to be managing her depressive episodes reasonably well using her coping skills. Period. They had a candid discussion about what to expect with the spinal cord stimulation device. Period. On 1/27/22, he provided a report of psychological testing after she completed an MMPI-2, period. He explained her findings were consistent with her interview presentation, and Wendy does not present evidence of any significant psychological difficulties which would contraindicate her having a spinal cord stimulator trial for her chronic pain. Period. Low depression, which is significant and not being well controlled, can somewhat affect psychological candidacy for this device. Wendy is managing her depression reasonably well. Period. Physical exam. General appearance. She focused on her subjective complaints from the outset and throughout the evaluation. Period. She complains of having decreased sensation of the upper back, and the cervical area is desensitized to high heat in the shower. Period. She removed her sweatshirt by pulling each arm out individually, then over her head. Period. She flew in from Texas for this evaluation. Period. She now does a clinical/office job that involves some driving. Period. She was supposed to do a spinal cord stimulator trial, but she became fearful and declined. Period. Extremities. Upper pinprick sensation was diminished on the left elbow down to the wrist, the left radial upper arm, and left radial wrist, as well as the right ulnar wrist and upper arm. Period. Soft touch sensation was intact. Period. Motion of the shoulders were limited, more prominently on the left and the right. Paired adduction, abduction was 115 degrees, comma, flexion 130 degrees, comma, extension 20 degrees, and internal rotation to 60 degrees, all with tenderness but no crepitus, period. Independent adduction and external rotation were full. Paired abduction on the right at 140 degrees elicited left side and neck tenderness. Paired flexion was to 160 degrees with localized tenderness. Paired motion of the shoulders, elbows, wrists, and fingers was otherwise full, all spheres without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Period. She was tender to palpation about the medial and lateral epicondyle of an unspecified arm. Period. Hands, wrists, elbows normal, shoulders normal, spine, cervical. Inspection revealed a well-healed right anterior transverse scar consistent with her surgery. Paired active range of motion was non-reproducible. Paired flexion was to approximately 15 degrees, comma, extension 10 degrees, comma, rotation right 40 degrees and left 25 degrees, comma, with side bending right 15 degrees and left to 10 degrees. Paired she was tender to palpation about the right medial trapezius in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the left or in the midline. Thoracic, she was tender to palpation about the interscapular musculature bilateral in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the midline. Impressions on 6-12-08, Wendy Willis Padilla was injured at work when a rack fell on top of her. Period. She had diagnostic workup and a course of conservative care, but remained symptomatic. Period. She then underwent surgery by Dr. Glass, as noted above. Period. On 3-30-16, she received an order approving settlement and has since reopened her case. Period. New paragraph. The petitioner has resided in Texas for several years now and has been seeing providers there. Period. She had updated cervical spine MRI on 12-9-14 and 6-17-20. Period. She saw a pain specialist named Dr. Lee and a psychologist named Dr. Hanks. Period. She was deemed a good candidate for a spinal cord stimulation trial, but she declined pursuing that route. Period. Of note, one of the initially fused levels done surgically resulted in a pseudoarthrosis. Period. I would offer 15% permanent partial total disability referral to the cervical spine. Period. There is 0% permanent partial total disability at the left shoulder. Period. Ms. Willis Padilla has remained active in a self-employed capacity, doing office work and driving. Period. This corresponds with the company mentioned above, owned by her husband. Period.